glad to be here. It's been awesome so far. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Yes.
It's been great. Really been great to meet y'all. Some of you we know already, some of you are new faces, which is always great to see and meet. And so I wanted to share a message that's been on my heart for a little while, and actually for quite a while, but particularly for this conference for a little while, which is kind of a hard message, so prepare. But I'll be as easy on you as I can be. There is a problem with when we call organic church, or I don't know what to call this, folks. I really don't. We're always grasping for language, you know, and it's difficult sometimes. But we've kind of settled on the organic church thing just because we don't eat toxic food. No. It's more about life. The word organic comes from the word life. The real life. In other words, without artificial ingredients, right?
Yeah.
Without the human element involved, human traditions like John was talking about yesterday. So a pure, natural expression of the church is what we're talking about here, without the human thing, structure and organization and institutionalism. Where Jesus Christ is the head, and not just in theory, but in living experience. He makes all the decisions. That's what a head does. He's in charge, right? As I like to say, he's large and in charge. And so we take that very seriously, that he's large and in charge. And you might ask, practically, we can't get into all the ins and outs of that right now, but practically, how do we make decisions under the headship of Christ? Well, all the saints seek the Lord. They all seek the mind of Christ together and find out what he wants on any given subject or decision. That's a difficult process. And sometimes it takes a while. But the thing I like about that is that you make a lot less mistakes that way. Because it's not one person making that decision or a council of people. It's all of the saints coming together and making the decision together after seeking the head, finding out what his mind is. Some things have to be hashed out. And of course, you have the human element involved and all that. So it's not an easy process sometimes. It also means that Jesus Christ is the center of the church. And here again, that's not just a phrase that we throw around. We take that very seriously, that he is actually the center of our attention.
Yes.
If you haven't gotten that this weekend, you're sleeping or something. Okay. Jesus Christ is the center of attention. He's the centerpiece on the table. We're all looking at him all the time and learning to, a phrase that we got from the New Testament, learning how to behold him. And that word behold means to intensely gaze upon him and participate with him in the gazing. And so it's seeing, but much more in-depth seeing than just looking at something. And so he is the center of our lives. He is the center of our lives individually and together as the church. And third thing is he is our life. Very important. We know he's in us, right? And he's in us and we're in him. But it's one thing to know that theologically and positionally. It's another to live it out practically.
Yeah.
And living by his life is something nobody has the market cornered on that I know of. It's a process, it's a growth thing. And you will live your whole life and never get to the end of that. It's an eternal thing. His life, of course, is eternal. But what is the quality of his life? What are the factors of his life? What are the indications of his life? Learning all of those types of things and then living by that life instead of your own. That's really important to be the church, by the way. That this is the expression of Jesus Christ and not of me or of you or of a group of yous. Okay, so that's my quick definition of organic church. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's all we have time for right now. But in our experience, and Mary, could you stand up? That's my wife, lovely wife, Mary. We've been doing this organic church thing for about 25 years, 26, 27 years. I don't know. You lose count after a while. And in our experience of working with groups, planting organic churches, speaking about it, writing about it, all those kinds of things, we have run into some problems. There are issues concerning this, and John hit on them, some of them yesterday. But I'm going to focus in on one particular issue. I believe this is the issue that is the biggest hindrance to organic church life, to Christ actually getting the expression of his church that he's looking for, especially in America.
Yes.
And we've been working a little bit outside of this country and hope to a lot more in the future. There's some brothers from Mexico here. Where are you guys? Yay! These brothers are serious. They're radicals. They're on fire for the Lord. It's very exciting to meet them. And there's a brother in Nigeria that we trained who's planting churches in Nigeria. And there's some folks, as you probably know, in Australia. One church that we planted there several years ago, and there's two others that want to be planted. So there's a lot happening in that country as well. But I'm kind of focusing on us Americans. And this is probably true of any Western type country, just because of the culture. Okay, so I'm going to give you basic plot of a movie. I'm really into movies. I love movies. Not all movies, of course. But this is a movie, came out in 1991. You might have seen it. It's called City Slickers. Anybody seen that movie? Billy Crystal? Remember that movie? It's a funny movie. Of course, Billy's a pretty funny guy. But the plot of the movie is there are these three friends, three guys, and they go on some kind of adventure every year, once a year, together. Well, this particular year, Billy is having a midlife crisis. And he loves his family, but he's got a really dead-end job, and he's just kind of lost motivation in his life and purpose. And so he's kind of going on this trip with these three friends to hope that there's something happens. And so what they decide to do is kind of crazy. They decide to go, I guess you can actually do this, on a cattle drive. And they're going to go from, anybody remember the states? I know they ended up in Colorado. Montana? They ended up in Montana or started in Montana? Anyway, they went, it doesn't really matter, does it? They went from, let's say they went from Montana to Colorado, okay? And they, of course, there were all kinds of adventures and things that happened, right? But the guy who was in charge of the cattle drive is an old cowboy, played by Jack Palance, remember him? And his name is Curly, which is kind of funny, but Curly's like a tough guy. He's one of the last real cowboys, right? And so this one scene, Billy is like spending time with Curly, and he's telling him his dilemma, that he's having this problem, you know, he's got a dead-end job, I just don't have any purpose in life anymore, and Curly holds up his finger, and he goes, what's that about? And he goes, you need to find the one thing. Wow. And Billy says, well, what is the one thing? He goes, well, that's what you have to find. And so the rest of the movie is about him discovering what the one thing is. So I want to talk about the one thing. There really is only one thing. Thank God, it's so that simple. God's made it that simple for us. So we're going to read a few scriptures, so I hope you have your Bibles. I'm going to be going kind of quick. I'm going to start in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek. And here's the one thing. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. That's where you find the beauty of the Lord, by the way, is in His house.
Yes.
You got to be in His house to see how beautiful He is.
Yes.
Why? Because He is expressed through all the saints.
Yes.
Much more than it could fit in this room. Doesn't mean you'll meet with more than that. But this is the one thing I've set up. The one thing I focus my life on, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only the days of my life, but forever. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, starting verse 7. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Starting verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. All right.
Yes.
Philippians 3, verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ.
Yes.
This guy, Paul, was a radical, by the way. He was a revolutionary. You got that, right? More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And that knowing is a deep word. It's a knowing experientially, not just knowing in the head. The head doesn't really help here, folks. It's a spiritual thing. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish. Some translations use the word dung, poo-poo, caca. You get it? So that I may gain Christ.
Yes. Yes.
And may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him against, the word know is very intense, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I love that phrase.
Yes.
That I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Why did He grab you? Why did He lay hold of you? There's a reason. One thing. One purpose. It's very simple, really. Okay. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Okay. You see sameness here? You see oneness here? One goal. One goal. The one thing. Okay, the one thing, what does it speak to you of? Well, it speaks to me of, first of all, singleness. Or singularity. Is that a word, singularity?
Yes.
It should be, if it isn't. Singularity or singleness. One thing, one. That's simple, that's single. Singleness of heart. Singleness of focus. Singleness of purpose. Singular vision. This is very important. Singular vision. You know, in the Song of Songs, it talks about having dove's eyes. And you know, a dove has very peculiar eyes. A dove can only focus on one thing at a time. And doves, by the way, we have doves where we live all over the place. Doves mate for life. They have one mate for the rest of their lives. Whenever you see a dove, you'll always see another dove. They're always together. And they have singular vision. That's why in Song of Songs it talks so much about the dove and the dove's eyes. Singleness of focus. Single-mindedness. Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 46. The early church. Verse 46 in Acts 2. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Many translations, instead of using the word sincerity, say singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Singleness. One heart, one mind, one purpose. James says, a double-minded man is what?
Unstable
in all his ways. Guess what, saints? We are double-minded people.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about this.
Yes.
We need to have one focus, one purpose, one mind, the mind of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is easier said than done, of course. It's a miracle. No, it's the only way it can happen. It's a miracle. Only God can do this. The church is unstable because the church has a double mind. We talk about the difference between the institution and organic. And guess what? We have the same problem in organic church. Double-mindedness. Maybe triple or quadruple mindedness, you know. Really, God has made it so simple. The Church of Jesus Christ is a single-minded people. People with a single focus. The one thing. Let me ask you this. What is your one thing? It's easy to say Jesus, but what is the one thing that occupies your time? The one thing that occupies your thoughts? The one thing that occupies your energies?
Yes.
See, this becomes very practical.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? When we work with organic churches, the one problem we run into the most is saints not having enough time.
Yeah.
saints being too busy. Oh, I can make it to a meeting once a week. And that's why that works so well, by the way, on Sunday morning. Why not Sunday morning? Who does anything on Sunday morning? It's dead time, right? You read the newspaper, maybe, you know, have breakfast. So Sunday morning works real well in our culture to have church then. It fits in there with the lifestyle. But to get together any other time, well, I just don't know. I'm really busy. What are you so busy doing? That's the question. And how important are all those things you're doing?
Yes.
In God's heart, in God's mind, how important are they?
Yeah.
This gets very practical and kind of convicting to me too, folks. I'm preaching it myself as well. Singleness of purpose, singleness of heart, one focus. That means no distractions. When you're focused on one thing, if I'm just going to focus on RC, which he's a beautiful brother, so, you know, he's easy to focus on, then I can't look anywhere else.
Yes.
If I look anywhere else, if I look at that speaker, I'm distracted, right? And we are, our minds, the way they work, can really only focus on one thing at a time anyway. Do you realize this?
Yes.
You can try little exercises, and one of the exercises they do is to say, how does it go? What you say?
You're counting.
You're counting.
And while counting, you try to answer a question.
Right. While you're counting in your mind or out loud? Either way.
You usually have to do it out loud.
So you're counting out loud, and then somebody asks you a question.
You have to continue counting and answer the question.
Yes, you can't do it. Our minds are made to focus on one thing at a time.
Yes.
And that a little exercise proves that. So God made us that way for a reason, didn't he? Paul makes it very clear in Philippians that Jesus Christ is the one thing.
Yes.
The person of Jesus Christ. Not just teachings about Jesus Christ. Not theology, not messages about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the person.
Yes.
He himself is the one thing.
Yes.
And the reason the early church was so successful is because they believed this and they practiced it. They made him their one thing.
Yes.
Now, my wife and I grew up, we got saved and grew up in a really crazy time in Southern California. In the 60s and 70s, referred to as the Jesus People Movement. May have heard of it. It went worldwide eventually. It was, we believe, a true movement of God. There was a lot of craziness that happened, you know, because a lot, like hippies were getting saved, and, you know, lots of young people were coming to Christ. But there was this singleness of purpose among those people. And that really impressed us because they were excited about the Lord.
Yeah.
They were on fire. That's the term we used all the time. You're on fire, you know, for God. You're a radical. You're a revolutionary for Jesus. And indeed, we were. And God did a lot of things during that time. In fact, a lot of you are sitting here because of that, I'm sure. So the person of Jesus Christ is the one thing. This is very important to realize. You can't study this, folks. You can't know him with your head.
Yes.
You can't know him with your emotions. You can't know him with your will. You can only know him with one vehicle, and that is your spirit. You see, you have a spirit inside of you. God gave you. And God has a spirit, right? And you have a human spirit as well. So now, when you come to Christ, the two become one.
Yes.
He turns water into wine.
Yeah.
How does he do it? He introduces a new element to the water. Sorry.
Yes.
He introduces a new element to the water. We're just water. But he brings himself, the new wine, and adds his life to us, our spirit. And now we're one spirit. Right? Amen? Is this Bible? Am I preaching Bible? Good. All right. So, we're talking about one thing. Well, the one thing is not only the one thing. It's also the first thing. Now, the first thing speaks a little bit differently, doesn't it? It's not only the one thing, it's also the first thing. What does first remind you of? How about priority? It's first, right? Comes before anything.
Yes.
That's what first means. All right, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. This is Jesus speaking. But seek first. What? Seek first. What does that mean, first? Before anything, right? Priority. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, it's so interesting to me that he puts his kingdom first, even before himself. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Righteousness speaks of the character of God, who he is.
Yes.
You see, why is that? Because this is the most important thing to God.
Yes.
Is the kingdom. We've been talking about that all weekend. His kingdom, his bride, his body, his house, his community, his city. His civilization. What's a kingdom? It's a civilization. It's a society, right? Of people who have one ruler, the king.
Yes.
Okay? Seek that first. Why? Because that's what God's seeking first. That's his eternal purpose.
Yes.
That's why he put you here.
Amen.
That's why you're breathing air right now. That's why you wake up every morning.
Yes.
It's not for you. It's not for this world system. It's for the kingdom.
Amen.
And guess what? He is the kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
Remember when he was standing there amongst the Pharisees? He said, kingdom of God is among you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Lord.
Some translations say the kingdom of God is within you. That's incorrect. You wouldn't say that to the Pharisees, believe me. The kingdom of God is among you. How could he say that? Because he was standing in the middle of them. They didn't get it. They really didn't get it. What? Kingdom of God? What do you mean? Jesus Christ is the kingdom.
Yes.
So that's why we can say, seek first the kingdom. Because it's him, himself. He has this whole society inside of himself. But he wants it expressed, right? We've been talking about that a lot. He wants it expressed on the earth in a very practical, physical way, as well as spiritual. Okay, Luke 9, verse 59. This is, of course, Jesus speaking again. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. See, it's the first thing, isn't it? It's not only the one thing, it's the first thing. But we put other things first, don't we?
Yeah.
That's the issue, saints. That's the problem. We have to have singular focus, singular purpose.
Yes.
Singular mindedness. Was this a bad guy? Was he bad? No. He wanted to go bury his dad. You know, what's wrong with that? Dad just died. The problem was, he said, first, Jesus said, follow me. He said, well, I'd really like to, but first, I have to go do this one thing. Now, there were a lot of people who said, I have to do this first, weren't there? They came to the Lord. It wasn't just this one guy. And he told them all the same thing. Let the dead bury the dead. Lord, that's kind of harsh. No, it isn't. He's the Lord.
Yes.
He is the Lord of all lords. He's the King of all kings, isn't he?
Amen.
He's the creator of this universe.
Yes.
Is anything he asks of us too much? No.
No.
And it's cool because he gives us himself. He gives us the strength to carry it out. And it's him. It's all him.
Yes.
All he wants is our willingness to put him first as the one thing. All right, we have Matthew 13. Yeah, see Matthew 13, verse 44, starting in verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking the pearls, fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. What is this speaking of? Value. Right? These guys found something of value. Treasures, pearls. And what'd they do? Sold everything they had to purchase that.
Yeah.
This speaks of first. This speaks of priority. What are the things you value the most? Jesus hit upon every area of life, didn't he? He hit upon relationships. He hit on family. He hit on possessions. He hit on every area of life that we value. And he said, no, that's okay. But you're not going to seek that first. I come first. I'm the pearl of great price. I'm the treasure buried in the field. Go and sell everything you have to purchase that field. It's the treasure. It's the treasure. It's not just any treasure. It's the treasure, saints.
Yes.
It's an eternal treasure. It's not going to wear out. All right. First speaks of importance. First speaks of quality. First speaks of priority. First speaks of capturing your attention. First in your thoughts, first in your time, first in your energy.
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom of God. This is one of the main issues blocking the true expression of Jesus Christ on this earth, especially in America.
Yeah.
We are so busy seeking other things. We are so busy putting our life energies, our money, everything into other things, except the one true thing that matters. How stupid. How could we be so lame? Think about it. Doesn't even make any sense, does it? Most Western believers, I say most because it's not all, are preoccupied with their thing instead of the one thing.
Yes.
And Jesus calls us very clearly in the Gospels to drop everything, yes, to follow him. Why would we follow him? Because he's going somewhere. Where is he going? He's going to build a city, a house,
yes,
a body, a bride. That's where he's going. That's what he's doing. Drop everything to follow this guy.
Yes.
He is your one and only true Lord. He is your life. The phrase I hear more than anything when we're planting a church is, I'm too busy. Anybody can go to a meeting once a week. Just about anybody, even a top executive, can fit that into their schedule. But that's not what the Lord's after. He's after a people who are completely his,
yes,
in every way. You see? Drop everything. Well, Milt, I just can't do that. Yes, you can. God never asks you to do something you can't do. He gives you the ability to do it. He gives you the grace and strength and the power to do it. Because it's him inside of you working.
Yes.
But you have to actually do it. You have to be willing to let go of all the other things. You see? And when we're talking about organic church, especially this is true, because we're not talking about a meeting once a week.
No.
We're talking about a life. We're talking about community. You can't have community once a week with people. You can't have community when everybody lives 45 minutes away from each other. What, you're saying we should move? If necessary. Yes. Drop everything. Milt, that's crazy. That's radical. I know. I'm not the first guy to say this. I'm just a repeater. I'm just repeating what the Lord said. Drop everything to follow me. Okay. The one thing is not only the one thing or the first thing, it's also the only thing.
Yes.
This is a tough one, as if the others weren't. This is also the only thing. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a statement. For me to live is Christ.
Yes.
If I'm alive, it's Christ. My only life is Christ. My only hope is Christ. My only dream is Christ. My only vision is Christ.
Amen.
I don't have any other visions. I don't have any other purposes. I don't have any other goals in life. Just one goal, Jesus Christ. Wow. That's quite a statement there, Paul. This guy sounds like a radical to me. Yeah, I'll say. He upset a lot of people, didn't he? Especially the Roman Empire. Especially the religious system, the Jewish system. He upset a lot of apple carts, didn't he? That's why they're always after him. He paid a high price for this, didn't he? Making him the one thing, making him the only thing. For me to live is Christ, Christ, and only Christ.
Yes.
I'm telling you what it takes to be an organic church. I'm not going to water it down, folks. I'm not going to make it easier than the Lord has made it. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do this. People ask me, Milton, is this difficult? No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It really is. And any saints that are here that have been in organic churches can say, amen, brother. It's impossible. It's humanly impossible to do this.
Yes.
That's why it's so cool. Because the human element isn't involved. Only God can do it. God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, Colossians 3. Verse 1. This is a very important factor in realizing the only thing. Because if you don't get this, and this has been shared this weekend already, then you will be confused about the one thing, the only thing, because you will try to do it yourself. Chapter 3, Colossians, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, it also can be affections, on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died. What? We've talked about that already, haven't we? You have died. Do you realize you're dead? I'm speaking to a room full of dead people right now.
Yes.
I see dead people. You're all dead.
Yes.
Do you realize this? I mean, really realize it by revelation? It's one thing to say theological. Oh, yeah, I know. Paul said we're dead. And I, of course, duh, you know. But when this really becomes a living reality in your life, you will, it's like, wow, I really am dead. Dude, you know. When we plant a church, we always spend some time referring to one another as dead people. And reminding one another that we are dead. The old man's dead. Thank God.
Amen.
You don't need him dragging behind you. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that beautiful? Your only life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, see, Christ is your only life now. You have no other life. You know, I mean, you hear people say all the time, I have no life. Well, that's true as a believer. It really is true. I have no other life. Christ is my only life now.
Yes.
He's the only thing, the one thing. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Wow. So you're not revealed until Christ is revealed. Because you're in him, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, Galatians 2:20 drives us home even more. Famous verse you probably haven't memorized. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now there's two eyes here. No, I'm not talking about these eyes. I'm talking about the eye. There's two eyes. First, there's the old eye, the old man. I have been crucified with Christ. That's the old man, the old eye. And it is no longer I, the old man, who lives. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I, no, that's the new man, the new I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see that switch there? So there's two eyes here. There's the old man. This man never doesn't live anymore. He's dead. Now in the new humanity, the new creation, I am in Christ and he's in me. That's my only life now, is the new creation.
Yes.
The new man. I have no other life. That other life's dead, buried, gone. So when we say things like, well, you're going to have to give all your time to this. What? You know, I can't do that. Why not? You're dead.
Yeah.
Now your only life is Christ. He doesn't have time for his own church. I don't believe that. This gets real practical, doesn't it? Now, when Jesus said, deny yourself and follow me, the word deny, people, I don't know why, how this started, but this phrase, well, I'm going to die to self. I'm going to learn to die to self. That's a terrible phrase. It's not, the scriptures never say that, die to yourself. That sounds like you are going to die to you. Good luck with that one. Really, good luck with it. You are going to die to you. Can't happen. The word there is deny, and it literally means disown. Disown yourself. Because you no longer own yourself anyway. You belong to him. Right? Ownership has been taken away from you. Your only life is Christ now. So you no longer own your own life. Just to realize that and live by that is the key.
Yes.
Lord, I totally belong to you now. I no longer belong to myself. So when he asks you to do something, it's no big deal. Because you're dead anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't own your life. He does. That's what the word Lord means. That he's in charge, right?
Yeah.
So when he says, go do this, go do that, I want you to say that to that person, I want you to go to this country or whatever it is, you go. It's that simple. Now, if you got to go bury your dad first, there's a problem. Because there's something first, you see. This is a matter of a heart condition, isn't it? That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about, well, you really can't bury your dad, you know, it's mean. No, that's not what the Lord was talking about. He's talking about your heart, singleness of heart, singleness of purpose. Now, we've been talking a lot about the church over this weekend and God's eternal purpose, which most Christians have been the foggiest idea of what that is. It's sad, but it's true. You talk to a Christian about the eternal purpose and they think, well, going to heaven. I'm going to have a mansion in the sky, right? God is a Beverly Hills type of God, you know? He's going to give everybody their own mansion. Cool! That's, of course, another terrible translation. But we don't have time to go into that. But anyway, it's a setting your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Setting your mind, your heart, your life on Jesus Christ. Becoming a Jesus person.
Yeah.
We're just into Jesus, man. What are you into? I'm into Jesus. That's all I care about is Jesus. Wow, that person's a weirdo. Yes. We look weird to the world, don't we? Now, for God to get his purpose, for God to get his kingdom, his house, his bride, his body, there is something that's going to hinder that. Something that the enemy uses. But it's not the enemy. It's not the religious system. The only thing that can hinder God from getting his eternal purpose on the earth is your life.
Yes.
Yes.
That's why he told you to lose that.
Yeah.
Lose your life. Unless you're willing to lose your life, you will not gain the kingdom. That's pretty direct, isn't it? Lose ownership of yourself, because you don't really own yourself anyway anymore. Your life is the thing that will get in the way. And we see this all the time. We start a group. It's all exciting in the beginning. Everybody's, wow, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, He's the Lord, He's the center, He's the head, He's the life. And then nobody shows up for a meeting. It's like, what happened? Where is everybody? Well, they're out doing their things.
Yeah.
And it's not about a meeting, it's about a life.
Yes.
But meetings are part of that. Getting together is part of that. You can't have the church without getting together. If you're going to have a family, family gets together, right? Gathers together. That's very important. In fact, if you read the book of Acts, you see they were getting together all the time. Daily. Wow. These people really are crazy. And that got people's attention in the city of Jerusalem, didn't it? It's like, what's going on here? There's thousands of people, like, they're sharing homes, and what in the world is going on? There's this new society, a new community, a city within the city. And it was cool that it was Jerusalem, which is supposed to, you know, in the Old Testament, that's God's city, right?
Yeah.
But now He has a new Jerusalem, doesn't He?
Yes.
And that new Jerusalem is living there inside of the old Jerusalem.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? The new Jerusalem's living inside of the old, and the old is just an empty shell now.
Yes.
But it's like the egg, you know, and now the church is going to hatch out of that old, rotten old egg, and it's going to bring the life of Jesus Christ to that city.
Yes. Come on.
Why? Because those people were willing to lose everything.
Yes.
To follow Him. They were radicals. And it turned that city upside down, didn't it?
Yeah.
Paul and his associates, everywhere they went, oh, there's those guys that turned those cities upside down over there. They were known to be the turner upside downers. Why were they, how could they do that? They were sold out to Jesus Christ. He was the one thing, the first thing, and the only thing in their lives. In fact, they no longer had a life. He was their life now. I want to see people like that again. We saw it briefly in the Jesus People movement. We've seen it a little bit in the organic thing. I want to see it take over the earth.
Yes.
In fact, I believe that's the Lord's heart. That the new Jerusalem, which is right now being built in the heavenlies. What is His vision? Read in the book, end of the book, man. The new Jerusalem comes down to earth. Don't be looking forward to going to heaven. Heaven's coming to earth. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now, it's not happening on the earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
But we want to see it happen like it is in heaven. In fact, we want it to be here.
Yes.
Because it's going to transfer. The kingdom's going to move locations from heaven to earth. The Lord told us to pray for that, didn't He? All right. Luke 14. I don't know how I'm doing for time, but I'm all right. Luke 14. Oh, good. The title of this message, I don't know how this title came about, is Count the Cost. I would say, I'm going to change it a little bit, Count the Cost, colon, the one thing. Okay, Luke 14, we'll start at verse 25. Now large crowds were going along with Him, and He turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple."
Wow.
Did Jesus really say this? It's in the Bible, folks, right here. I have proof.
Red letter.
Well, mine isn't red letter. It's heretical Bible, I think. But it's just black letters. All right. This is radical stuff, is it not? Lord, you can't really mean that. It's just figurative language, right? We're supposed to have singular focus.
Yes.
And that singularity isn't the family.
Amen.
Yes, I really said that. Our focus is not the family.
Yes.
Our focus is the family.
Yes.
His family.
Yes.
Yes.
And it begins with him, doesn't it?
That's right.
Because he is the family. He's in all of us, isn't he?
Yes.
And we're all in him, right?
Yes.
That makes us one.
It does.
Inness determines oneness.
Yes.
I know inness is not a word, but you got to make up words when you're doing this, you know? Inness determines oneness. He said, I and the Father are one. Why? Because I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. So being in one another makes us one.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ is one with his body. Is this true? The head is one with the body. I hope so.
Yes.
Don't really want a headless body. That's scary. Sleepy Hollow type stuff, you know? Headless horseman or something, you know? Okay, they are one.
Yes.
Of course, we don't really think that way, do we?
No.
Well, there's the church here, and then Jesus, the head, is up in heaven. Really? Well, yes, he is in the heavens. But he's a pretty powerful God. He can be in more than one place at a time. And he is also in us, on the earth. Those who are born into his kingdom, right? Okay, so we're talking about counting the cost. Got off a little bit there. Large crowds were going along with him. He turned and said, if anyone comes to me, does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, and brothers and sisters. Boy, he is all inclusive. And yes, don't forget, even his own life. He cannot be my disciple. You can't even follow me if you don't leave everything. I will not allow anyone to follow me that doesn't lose everything. Where do we ever get the idea that we could? From insipid, lukewarm Christianity. That's where.
Yeah.
This gospel that's being preached to us that isn't about the lordship, the kingship of Jesus Christ at all.
No.
We're still king. We're still Lord. We just include him now in our lives.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't he wonderful, Jesus? I love him. He's healing me. He's helping me, you know. You know, Lord, help me do this in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
We invoke the name, you know. We kind of tack that on the end of prayers because he's got to do it when we say in his name, right? In Jesus' name. That just kind of ensures it's going to happen for me by saying in Jesus' name. All right. If anyone comes to me, oh, I already said that, sorry. Verse 27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This requires a death to your own life, to the world system, to everything but him and his purpose. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has had enough to complete it?
Wow.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Don't you do this with everything? You're going to build something, you're going to create something, you've got to figure out the cost. Your building list, right? Your building materials. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, all who observe it will begin to ridicule him. Look at Jake. What a jerk. You know, I mean, this guy, you know, come on. He's got this building list. He doesn't even have any money. He hasn't really planned this very well, has he? They ridicule him, saying, "This man has begun to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Not too bright. Right? You have to count. Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Well, that makes sense. "So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions." Wow, that just fits in American lifestyle completely, doesn't it? This is too radical, Lord. I don't know if we can handle this. "Therefore, salt is good. But even salt, if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Worthless to God if you're distracted by other things. Because there is only one thing, saints. And that one thing is also the first thing. And that first thing is also the only thing.
Yes.
Wow. You're crazy, Milt. You really are crazy. Yes, I am. Do I look crazy? Believe me, if you knew what my wife and I do, you would, yeah, that guy's definitely crazy. We used to say, "I want to be crazy. I want to be bonkers for Jesus." That was in the Jesus people days. You know, we were like, "Yeah, I'm crazy for the Lord." That was a good thing. That was considered to be a good thing. Because only a crazy person would do what Paul did. Only a crazy person would do the things those early Christians did and the way they lived. And everybody around them said, "Well, they're definitely peculiar, aren't they?" That was a nice way of saying it, right? "These guys are nuts." They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. But that's okay, because unless there is a testimony on the earth, usually, historically, this has been small, which is sad to say. Usually an expression, a true, genuine expression of the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's house on the earth, has always been small, very small. You read the story, you read the history of it, you will see it's been always been a small thing. Compared to, you know, the rest of the world. But those people have always made an impact on others around them. If we're not making an impact, not because we're going out in the street and preaching, not saying you can't do that. I've done it. It's kind of fun. We carried a 12-foot cross down large boulevards, you know, preaching Christ. Wow, that's crazy, Milt. I know. Bonkers for Jesus. We need an organic church, folks. We need people who are sold out to Christ.
Yes.
We need people who are radical for the kingdom.
Yes.
We need people who are revolutionaries. That's the only way this is going to happen. It's not about you and your ministry. It's about the church.
Yes.
She is the city set on a hill. She is the light of the world. Read it, folks. It's always corporate. It's not about you going out and doing your ministry. I'm not saying you won't do that, but it's not about that.
No.
It's about him getting his church, his house, his bride, his city, his society, his kingdom, his expression, his new Jerusalem.
Yes.
That's what he wants. That's what's going to affect the world. Not some missionary endeavor. We always think, well, we got to reach this country or that country. Why not start where we're at?
Yes.
Why not reach this country?
Yes.
You know how pagan this country is?
Yes.
Pretty pagan.
Yes.
If we would just be the city of God, people go, wow. Oh, these people are nuts. Look at the way they love one another. Who does this? Really, everybody's into themselves, man. Into my thing. Right? The one thing is my thing for them. Is it for you? Is your one thing you? And your life? I'm calling you. This is like an altar call, folks. I'm calling you to repent.
Yes.
To turn from your life, to turn from your busyness world to the kingdom of God.
Yes.
To his eternal purpose, what God wants, and become passionate for that instead of your thing, and forget your thing. God will take care of your thing. Believe me, he said that. Seek first the kingdom, and guess what? All those other things you seek after all the time, I'll take care of those. That's a guarantee. And I have tested that. My wife and I have tested that year after year after year. And God always comes through. Every time. If we will seek first his kingdom, he will take care of all of our stuff that we're so worried about all the time. He said, don't take one thought for that. Is this worry going to add even one cubit to your height? Is it going to add anything to your life? No, it's just worry. Why? Because you really don't believe he can do it. You really don't trust him to do it. Well, if you're really busy seeking first the kingdom, you won't even have any time to think if he's going to do it or not.
Yes.
True. True that.
True that.
There will be no time to worry about those things. And boy, don't we rush to that worry place.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you all to stand. And I'm going to have an altar call here. And not really, but it's kind of like that. I want you to really, if this has touched you and God is speaking to you through this message, I really would like you to come down to the center here, and even if he hasn't, come down to the center so it'll look better, you know. And it's like, I see that hand, oh yeah, and that hand, and that hand, and that hand. Have you ever done this? And then you keep your eyes open and you watch and no hands are up at all. But the guy's going, yeah, I see that hand and that hand. I have done this in meetings, in churches. It's like, there's nobody raising their hand, what is he talking about? You know? But if this is touched and you want to just rededicate your life, whatever you want to call it, if this weekend has been an impact on you for the Lord in his house, I want you to come forward and just kind of meet here in the middle. And we're going to pray, and we're also going to sing a song about his kingdom. And I just want you to spend a little time with the Lord while we're down here. Just saying, Lord, I want you to be the one thing. I want you to be the first thing. I want you to be the only thing in my life.
Yes.
Because I realize I don't have a life anymore anyway. And now I want you to actually be your kingdom, your purpose,
yes,
your plan to be consume me.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
So it's no longer about me and my agenda and what I want, my plan for my life.
Yes.
As they used to say in the old days, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And it's totally different than your plan. Believe me, I can guarantee you that.
Amen.
Okay, so come down. Anyone? Anyone? Come on down. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Your friends will stay here and wait for you.
Okay, Bill.
The restaurant will be there later.
And I'm not going to pray. I just want you to say something to the Lord, either quietly, silently, or out loud.
Ourselves out to you and your desire. Only you.
Yes, Lord.
You are Lord.
Lord, we give ourselves to you afresh for your purpose.
Yes,
Lord, we want to just lay ourselves aside, put everything aside for your purpose, for your house, for your building of your body.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we see this world falling apart around us, and we know that you are the only one that can rebuild this earth, and that you are going to do it, and you are doing it with us now. And Lord, we just pray that we obtain that one single focus on you.
Lord, you know what's in our hearts and what's going on every one of our lives, Lord. We trust in you completely and let your will be done with all of us.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know the best thing. I don't have good plans. I really need you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
I am not a good Christian. I am not a super Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
The Lord, all that we know is that we found the pearl of great worth. Mm-hmm. See your beauty,
right.
See your worth, and
yes.
We want to sell everything.
Yes.
For you,
yes.
Sell out.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. This is Jesus, but none of us are there yet. We never will be.
Right.
There's no place for arrival as you go on and on. And on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's
we're already
right.
In you.
Amen.
Amen.
Our place, Lord Jesus. Whatever is left of me, I know it's a lot more I think it is.
Right. Yeah.
It is you.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, we declare here together that we will lose our life.
Amen.
Kingdom.
Yes.
Kingdom.
Yes.
Glorify your name.
We are willing. No, or unwilling.
Yes.
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 We give you our yes, Lord. And where will we give us your strength?
Right.
Yes. Father, we just surrender. We surrender.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I'm sorry for chasing a lot of good things.
Lord,
amen. Yes.
Lord, give us one mind, your mind.
Yes, Lord.
Your mind.
Thank you that we have your mind.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Lord, we believe, help our unbelief.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Lord, love you. Lord, you cannot do the Bible. You cannot explain the Bible. Bring others to our God.
There is no condemnation for us in Christ.
Amen.
There is nothing to accomplish because it is finished.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Rest in Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yep. Our old self.
Yep.
We are new in you.
Hallelujah.
Yes. We thank you that you have arrived, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. It's done and we turn and abide.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you that we're not just hearers and speakers of the word, but as you promised, we actually move and do.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
You set us free from the old man so we can pursue the one.
Yes.
That's right.
You have brought us back to the garden. Let us cultivate.
Yeah.
The garden is you.
Yes.
Lord, no longer let me deceive myself that anything else satisfies me.
That's right.
Lord, I pray that it would be as if all this stuff in my life fades away so that only you remain. And you're my one.
Yes, God,
everything that I want you to be, you are. You are everything.
Yes.
And I want to recognize
and
die
exchange. Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Live is Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
A real living person.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
I want to know that experience.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
All right.
Thank you, Lord, that it's not about me.
Yep.
Mm. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to pursue things about you. We don't have to pursue your grace or your mercy. We have you. We have the person, Jesus Christ, dwelling inside of us.
Yes.
We have access to all of your riches, all of your power, all of your glory, 24/7. Lord, we don't have to pray for a visitation of your spirit, Lord, because you are here all the time.
Amen.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you don't have to visit your home. You are here all the time.
Amen.
May now that expression be evident for you.
Yes.
The expression of that life in us, Lord. That's what you need. That's what you want.
Yes, Lord.
The expression of your kingdom in this place, in this world.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so worthy.
Mm.
For being so valuable.
Yes.
You are the heir of all things. You have been given all authority in heaven and on earth.
Yes.
Only your name is the name above all names.
Thank you, Lord.
You are the rising sun, so we can extinguish our candle.
Right.
You are the summer, so we can discard our winter garden.
Mm.
You are,
thank you, Lord,
the all and in all.
Amen.
Thank you for being a God, a Lord, a person worthy of being the one, the first, and the only.
Yes,
Lord.
Jesus, you are a treasure hidden in a field. You're a pearl of great price.
Mm, yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for giving this life.
Yes.
Lord, we sell all our possessions for you, the treasure.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Because you're worth it, Lord.
Yeah. You are.
You are worth it, Lord.
Yes.
It's all yours anyway.
Love you.
Father, help us shift our gaze from what we've lost to what we'll gain.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, in the scroll of the book it is written concerning you. You are the center of the whole Bible.
Yes, that's right.
You are every jot and tittle.
Yes.
Lord.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and every letter in between.
That's right. You are the Word of God.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Live in Jerusalem and pass from you.
Hallelujah.
That part.
We're going to sing a song.
You don't need it?
I shouldn't have been momentarily.
Lord, we are yours.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We are allegiance to you, Jesus.
Might have to ship our paper, only have 40 copies, so you have to
know. Some of the saints are in
here. Let's all get, let's all close in here, folks. Come on down.
You're like, how do we right here?
We're going to sing this song. I think you know the tune.
It's not on the big page. No, it's not. It's a little page that.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It's
a separate page. Gonna have to share. I know it's tough.
Yes, no, Christians don't share things.
I know. This is America. You know? Who can start this?
Gotta start. Can you see through the eyes of?
So we're facing one another, in other words. We have two sections. Yeah, you guys can turn around and face them. Okay, so we're like going to have a shouting match. No, just... Okay, so now you can all hear each other singing.
It's glorious, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Let's try it again. Whoever started it, start us again, please.
Oh, say can you see